What we're trying to do is focus the assembly, make sure that everybody's all in, no disunity and stuff like that, right? And so that's the whole purpose of this. And really, this came out of just my regular reading, going through the Old Testament right now. And I got to Chronicles, and as I was observing chapter 11 through 15, I was taking little notes. And so this is what this is all about. And from there, I kind of started applying it to the assembly and how we need to be all in and be one. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll start. Father, thank you for your word. We ask for the Holy Spirit's guide and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so just for the background, you remember that Saul was king, and he created a lot of chaos. He didn't do things right, and his men, they were, trying to kill an innocent man. And so there was a division there. Then finally, he was killed. And after that, David became king of what? Was he king of what?
Hebron.
Hebron, that's right. King of Hebron. And how old was he when he began to be king? He was 30, right? He was 30 years old. Very good. He was around 30. And so was the Lord Jesus. And so there's a lot of parallels here to where the Lord Jesus, when he started his ministry, he was 30 years old, right? So King David was 30, but there was still a division, right? There was still the people who were loyal to Saul, and then the people who were loyal to David. And there was that civil war going on. You can read it there. And unfortunately, through that, there was a lot of fighting, and they killed each other. A lot of sad stories in between there, right? And so this goes on for approximately 7 years. And so when we're entering the stage here, it's towards the end of the 7 years where the people from Israel realized God called David, and we're going to go ahead and unite with him, and we're going to stop this civil war, this tension, and we're going to come together, all right? So the main thing you're going to see here is that they come into David, and they're saying, David, now we're all in with you. No more division, no more wondering. You're the king, and we're going to be with you. We're going to follow you, all right? So that's all the background. So having said all that, let's look at some verses. 1 Chronicles 11, 1 through 3. Then all Israel gathered to David at Hebron and said, now watch this. Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. We are your bone and your flesh. In times past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led out and brought in Israel. Let me bring the Bible a little closer. I was kind of leaning down here. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall be prince over my people Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord through Samuel. And so the people then, we're beginning to realize that this is the man that God appointed, and we need to stop this civil war, this killing of each other, and being divided. We need to come together, and we need to support this man, and we need to go meet with him and express to him that we are with you. We are with you. And so you see then, the first thing they said to him is what? What did they say to him? Right there, verse 1. We are bone of your bone, and we are your flesh. Now, somebody said something similar to that in Genesis. Who was that? Adam, right? When he saw Eve, all right? He said, you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So what were they saying with that? That we are totally accepting you, and we are going to be one with you, right? And you couldn't use a more intimate term for them to express this reality, that's the word that to use, right? It says if there's a tension, right, between me and one of you, then I come to you and say, look, man, it's it, no more. Right? From now on, you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I am totally committed to being your friend and being intimate with you, being intimate friends, Right? And so that's what they were saying. We're giving ourselves to you in this way. They used a very term of endearment to express that to you. And so, and I was thinking, as believers, as an assembly, we need to be all in with Christ, right? Christ who is in us, the hope of glory. Indeed, we are His bone and His flesh eternally in Christ. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. What were we saying in the Lord's Supper? That we cannot be more intimate with Christ than what we are, right? We are in Christ Jesus for all eternity. And so our response should be, Lord, I am your bone and your flesh, fully committed to you, no turning back, no looking at another. We are all in with you, Lord Jesus, ready to serve the living God. Amen? What do y'all say?
Amen.
Huh? Amen. And so that's what the Lord was telling me as I was reading through this. In fact, let's go to Romans. Look, hold your hand there and look at the way Romans expresses it. Chapter 7. Look at Romans chapter 7. Nothing like some Bible teaching, being in the Word of God to wake us up, huh? Get those doldrums out of us. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's go to verse 2 through 4. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, notice, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then if, while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be, notice, joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. And so the Bible actually uses the marital expression, right? If you will, it uses this terminology to express that we died to what we were, to the law and to the flesh, and now we are united with Christ. You see that? So he uses the marital expression, like when your husband dies and you can remarry. So we died and now we are united, married, connected to Christ. We are the bride of Christ, right? So we can't be more close to Him than we are right now. So, having said that, isn't it great that Christ is fully committed to you? Right? So this is the impressive part. And so our response should be, okay, Lord, since you're fully committed to me, and He is, then I'm fully committed to you. And so we're almost going to enter the new year. Hopefully this will continue to be that which drives you, right? Christ is fully committed to me. I am united with Him. I am the bride of Christ. He's done everything for me, drew me to Himself, right? I am His beloved. And so now, Lord, I am fully committed to you. And that's what the people said to David. We're bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. We're committed to you. We're going to follow you. All right? So, are you all in? Hopefully you are. Point number two. Let's go to chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, very important thing is you can say, okay, I'm all in with Christ. That was the easy part. All you're like, yeah, how can I argue with that, right? Amen. Yes. Yes, I am all in with Christ. But after you're all in with Christ, then you have to be all in with the body of Christ, right? With the local assembly. And so notice how important that the different leaders, notice now, the different leaders of Israel that were used to follow Saul, they came and met with him to verbally say, I'm with you. This is huge. This is huge. Right? So that there should be no tension. Now, listen now. There should be no tension between the leadership here and the body. There should be no tension. If there is, you need to go talk to them and say, hey, let's talk this out. And then after that, you shake hands and say, we're all in with you. Now, why do I say that? Because there was tension, right? There was war between the Israel and the people who were following David for 7 years. bloodshed and fighting. And then they said, that's it, no more. And they fixed it and they became one. All right? So this is just part of normal life. But it's important, if we're going to be united and God's going to bless this work, that this be true. All right? Now, notice in chapter 12, verse 17. And David went out to meet them, the ones that used to be his enemy. Well, verse 17. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to a stronghold to David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, now watch, if you come peacefully to me to help me, my heart shall be united with you. But if to betray me to my adversaries, since there's no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look on it and decide. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai. Is that how you pronounce that? Amasai or Amasai? Good enough. Let's go with that. Who was the chief of the 30. And he said, notice. See, because David posed a question. Are you with me? Are you with me? That was an important question, right? Because that had to be answered if they were going to be united and if God was going to bless. Are you with me? Now the Spirit of God came upon the man that he was asking a question to with his people. And here's what he said. We are yours, O David, and with you, O son of Jesse. Peace to you. Notice, and peace to him who helps you. Indeed, your God helps you. Then David received them and made them captives of the band. Now notice, don't let this pass your eyes, okay, your vision, that in order for there to be unity and blessing, the one who used to be the enemy had to come and verbally say to him, I am with you. Because David said, okay, you're right here, but I want to hear from you that you're with me. Because if you're not, I'm going to tell you right now, my hands are clean because I haven't done anything wrong and God's going to judge. And so it was very important that he verbally say it and be there with them. So he came one-on-one in person to him and said, we are with you. We are with you, David. You see that declaration? Oh my goodness, this is so important. It's so important. All right? And so not only did they say, we are committed to Christ, we are committed to you, David, bone of your bone, right? Because David is the type of Christ, well, his son is Christ, right? We're committed to you, but now we're committed to the leadership and to the unity of the body. And for that to be true, Amasai, how to pronounce that guy, had to come and verbally say it. And what did he say? We are yours, O David, and with you, O son of Jesse. No more enmity, no more jealousy. We are united with you. It's over. Peace to you. And notice, peace to him who helps you. Indeed, your God helps you. So we must be convinced that the assembly is the way we're going to go, and then come alongside the shepherds, the elders, and serve. Wow. This is so important. And you can say, well, we don't like the decisions they're making. We don't like where they're going. We don't like the speakers or whatever. We don't like where they're sending the money. You can say all that stuff that I've heard in the past as I've been an elder. And we start to gossip and undermine the decision and direction. This is very destructive. And David knew that. And that's what he said, Amasai, you're a man of influence. You have a group of people that follow you. You're coming to me, and we need to make this clear right now. In front of everybody, are you with me? Yes, I am. So God can do no other than bless where we are fully committed. As a unit, no competitive spirit, no jealousy, no comparison. We just want God to get the glory and the praise. Now, next, 12:33. Because there was a bunch of people, mind you. They came from different parts of Israel to meet with him personally and say, we're going to make this right with you, David. This is huge. Look at verse 33. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out in the army, who could draw battle formation, with all kinds of weapons of war and help David with an, what is it? An undivided heart. Wow. Okay, so here's another group from Zebulun. Mighty warriors. And David knew, if we're going to have success, you need to come to me and tell me you're with me. And so here they come. Undivided heart. Did they make it clear? Yes or no? Yes, they did. We're here. Here's our men. Here's our mighty men of war. We are with you with an undivided heart. You know what that means, right? It's like when you're talking to a girl and you're thinking, oh, I kind of want to marry her, but there's also the other one here. There's Sally over here too. And then the girl comes up and says, hey, you need to make a decision. Undivided heart, it's me or there's the door, right? And okay, I'm going to tell Sally she's gone. I'm committed to you. Boom, and then you get married. Amen? That's how it works. And so the group came to David. The group came to David and said, we're with you, all our warriors, undivided heart. No questions. That we're not going to be looking at another leader. We're with you, David. That was important, wasn't it? Yes, that's right. Now, let's look at 12:38. All these being men of war, this is another group. 37, I'll give you the details, Reubenites from Manasseh, from Gideon. Anyway, right there. Verse 38. All these being men of war who could draw up in battle formation came to Hebron. So here comes another group. Watch now. With a perfect heart to make David king over all Israel. And all of the rest also of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And so this time they came with a what kind of a heart? A perfect heart. A perfect heart. All right, so first came Amasai. Hey, we're fully committed. We're with you. Peace be with you, David. Here we are, all of my men. Then here comes the man of Zebulun. Undivided heart, we're with you. Then here comes the Manasseh and the other ones, the Reubenites. Here we are with a perfect heart. We're with you. No, none of this anymore. Looking at another enemy, our leader. We're with you, one body. We're one unit. All right, and bam, there you go. They came to him and they told him that with their mouth. So important that they didn't say from a distance. They came to him and told him. Here we are. All right, now, notice verse 12:32. And the sons of Issachar, here's another group, right? Men who understood the times. With the knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200 and all their kinsmen and all at their command. And they're the ones that had the undivided heart, right? Now, notice that these men came alongside of David and they understood the times and they came to help with the knowledge of what we need to do. So they said, all right, culture has changed, times have changed. We're going to come alongside David, we understand what's happening, and we're gonna bless. We're gonna do things because we see what's going on. We know what's necessary, what's needed. We're gonna come alongside, and we're gonna bring blessing because we understand what's happening. And some of you are very gifted, very talented, and you see our culture, our times, and use your gifts. Come alongside the body here, right? Do you who have an understanding and can help? And bless the body. Like they did. Like they did. And they understood their time. Have you understood that the culture has changed? That we're dealing with a different animal now? It's scary where we're at right now. Alright, where are we at with time? Okay, we're good. Alright, so I let the Holy Spirit work on y'all with that. See, so in order for God to bless, first of all, they had to be right with Christ, right? We're all in with you, Lord. David, bone your bone, flesh your flesh. Secondly, those men had to come and meet with him and verbally say to him, we are with you. We saw a bunch of examples. Read the chapter more carefully, you'll see. Right? But we see then a complete saying that we're with you, undivided heart, a perfect heart, and they came to serve alongside and in peace to you, we are here. We are here with you. All right, no. So point number three, taking the right steps. Taking the right steps. Now David, being a man of God, said, all right, in the past, there was a problem. Right? They were very carnal, very spiritually off. It's so bad that that thing they carried with the ark. Thank you. I just went blank. All right. I just started speaking in Spanish there, right? So the ark had been taken by the Philistines, right? And it had never come back. And David was like, you know what? We need to, that was an indicator of being spiritually wrong, as you know, right? They were totally off at that time. So they had put the ark on a cart, and it landed in some guy's house, and that guy was being all blessed because of it, right? And then, so David says, we need to get that ark and bring it over here. We're going to make a tent. We're going to have it here. But in their zeal to serve God, they overlooked a fundamental thing, right? That God wants obedience rather than sacrifice, right? You can't just go wildly do things. You have to do things according to Scripture. And so he was so it's not like he had any evil intention. He had a good intention. But the revealed word of God is important that we follow it, right? And so, let's see what happens there. Chapter 13, 3 through 10. Let us bring back the ark of God to us. 13:3. For we did not seek it in the days of Saul. So that's a spiritual condition. Not good, right? Then all the assembly said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of the people. David assembled all of Israel together from Shehor of Egypt even to the entrance of Hamath to bring back the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. And David and all of Israel went up to Baala, that is Kiriath Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who is enthroned above the cherubim, where his name is called. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio, however you pronounce that guy's name, drove the cart. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, even with songs and with lyre, harps, tambourine, cymbals, and with trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. So he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And he called that place, whatever he called, all these names, they're so hard to pronounce, right? So what happened? What happened? I want to look at the note from Ryrie. It says the ark was to be carried by hand, not by any vehicle, and was not to be touched by those carrying it. Numbers 4:15. I went back and read it. It's exactly what it says. God had once allowed the Philistines to transport the ark on a cart, but his exception did not set aside his revealed will. I like that. I like that. So in other words, the Philistines, who did not know God, didn't know all these rules. They're like, okay, how are we going to get it back to them? Well, let's put it in a cart, and let's put it with an ox, and let's just get it over there. Well, God allowed them to touch it because they didn't know. But when it became the God of the people of God, that's a different story, right? We cannot claim ignorance to the revealed will of God, right? And they were so excited and to do something for God, but they were going to do it out of the will of God. See, and even though they had so much zeal and good intentions, still the Lord said, you can't touch that, right? And so they didn't pay attention to detail and to the revealed will of God. All right, so point number four, corrections needed to be made, and they made the corrections, right? And so this reminds me, when we want to serve God, and there are certain things the Holy Spirit tells us, clean that up in your life. We need to do it. Right? And the Holy Spirit will tell you, I know you love me now, you want to serve me, but you need to clean that up. Guilty. He's told me many times. Ray, I want to use you more, but I'm holding back right now until you clean that up. And if you don't, I want to bring discipline, and I'm going to discipline you until you clean that up, and then I'm going to use you more. And so that's exactly what happened there, you see. And so the Holy Spirit will point to you and show you what you need to clean up. All right, so he pointed to them, you didn't do it right. And so David got mad. Then he reflects later and realized, oops, yeah, I shouldn't have gotten mad at God, first of all, right? But now that I see what we did, we're going to make things right. And so that's the thing. God allowed them, and because he's so full of grace, to make things right. And that's what he is with us. All right, I told you what to do. Repent of it, make things right, and then we're going to have your blessing. And so here we go. Chapter 15 and verse 2. Then David said, no one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Okay, there we go. They made the correction. Right? So notice, he's not mad at God. He's not frustrated. He realized we're going to do things God's way. Right? And so, he consulted, looked at the scriptures with the Levites and said, it's because the Levites are the only ones that can do this. And so he says it. No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites. He didn't say that in the other chapter, did he? He didn't pay attention. For the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever. Ah, very good. Correction made, huh? Amen? Correction made. God is gracious. Yeah, repent, make it right with him, and he'll use you. He'll use us. All right? So then notice verse 13. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us. So they're realizing what they did wrong. For we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So that's an acknowledgement, a repentance, a correction, and now God's blessing. Right? So let's look at verse 14. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel. And the sons of the Levites carried the ark on their shoulders. Very good. Now it's being done right. With the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And so they carried with the poles because they didn't touch it. They put the poles through the little loop things and they carried it. They never touched it. And it was the Levites doing it, not in a cart. It was being done the right way. Right? And so what happens as a result? God's blessing followed. Notice chapter 15 then. And let's just continue reading then verse 16. Here, let me turn my page. Then David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harp, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. All right. So what happened then? They were celebrating. There was joy. God was pleased. They were doing things honorably, the way God had said, right? And the people were excited. They were singing. They were singing. And according to Ephesians 5, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, what follows? Psalms and singing, right? You start to sing and you feel joy in your heart. And so there was joy in their heart. There was peace and joy and singing and celebration because God was bringing blessing now. God was bringing blessing. All right? So let me ask a series of four questions that I want you to think about. Number one, are you all in with Christ? Just because you're sitting here doesn't mean you're all in with Christ. Because I've sat there before and been half committed. Right? So are you all in with Christ? Number two, are you all in with the elders and with the assembly? And if you're not, you need to go up to them and say, you know what, I'm with you. I'm going to stop opposing, stop talking, stop saying stuff, I'm with you. We're with you. You're going to verbally say it. Are you all in with the assembly and with the elders? Third, are you living right? Are you living right? And fourth, are we as a body experiencing God joy and singing praises? God joy and singing praises. Right? So, some questions to think about. We could take that home and evaluate where you're at. But God can't help but bless when we're united, when we're together, when we make it right. So notice, they came to David and made it right. And until you do that, it's not going to be right. Okay? Father, bless your word to our hearts. Pray in Jesus' name.